Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." 45 times in the Gospels, Jesus begins using the phrasing, "I am," like, "I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He does that because it's not like he wants to just be like the good shepherd. No, he is the good shepherd. For good reason. Of all the occupations he could have chosen, like kings, dictators, emperors, whatever, Jesus identified himself and chose the image of the good shepherd. In the Old Testament, we hear the prophets speak about how God will send the Messiah who will gather the scattered sheep of Israel who had gone astray because of their own sin and became scattered because of the doom and destruction that followed. In the Old Testament, the Jews, as we do, pray Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so the imagery was there. But also, our Lord knew that the people could relate. After all, in the Holy Land area, there are millions of sheep, especially at the time of our Lord. Sheep were raised for wool, for food, and especially for religious sacrifice at the temple. But just as a regular shepherd has to guide a flock, Jesus, the good shepherd, guides us with his truth. He is the Word who became flesh. He has perfectly revealed God's truth and love, showing us, therefore, the path that leads safely through this life to heaven. Jesus, as the good shepherd, like a shepherd who nourishes, has to nourish us. And he does so through the sacraments, particularly the Holy Eucharist, that sharing in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus also, like a shepherd, has to discipline. So just like a regular shepherd has that staff with the hook at one end, has to now and then yank in the sheep that's wandering astray or hit the rear end to make a sheep move, Jesus disciplines. We hear of how he chastised the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, cast out the money changers from the temple. Also, called sinners to task, saying, "I forgive you, but do not sin again." The key, though, is that Jesus is like any other shepherd because he gave his life for his sheep, for you and for me. Yes, he went to the cross to free us from sin, and he rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. So unlike any kind of worldly shepherd, Christ is the only shepherd who leads us safely through this life to the kingdom of heaven. So St. Peter, rightly, in Acts the Apostle says, "There is no salvation through anyone else. There is no other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are saved." Only Christ leads us safely to heaven. To help us, though, Christ, having ascended into heaven, has established a church. So our Lord purposely entrusted his apostles with that role of being the good shepherd. He says to St. Peter specifically, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." St. Peter is that first great pope of our church. We hear from Acts the Apostles how he proclaims the truth of Christ in the temple before the Sanhedrin. Now, all of the apostles, as we know, after Pentecost, go out and proclaim that gospel message to the whole world. They establish the church that we have. We're here because of their efforts. But consider this, my brothers and sisters. The church continues. Despite all these centuries, despite times of persecution, schism, heresy, definitely wolves that have entered into the church, despite those who have even acted like the hirelings when they should have been good shepherds, despite all of that, the church is still here because Christ the Good Shepherd is the cornerstone. He founded the church. Christ the Good Shepherd is with the church to guide the church, and his shepherding has been entrusted to his apostles, their successors, our Holy Father, the bishops, by extension, to priests. So we see immediately then how important our church is and how important this Mass is. This Mass is essential to our life because this is the cornerstone of our own spiritual life. Here we gather as that flock. Here we gather to worship God. Yes, we hear the word of our Lord through sacred scripture. He speaks to us. My role as your pastor, which means shepherd, is to explain the sacred scriptures, to make them come alive, to teach. My job, too, is to address the tough issues that you and I face at times in our world. After all, we know the challenges that we face, especially in the area of morals. And there would be those so-called maybe false messiahs that would say, well, let's be on the right side of history and let's change the teaching about the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death, change the teaching on marriage between a man and a woman, change the teaching about gender and so on. Oh, yes, the false messiahs say, let's be on the right side of history, but they don't know how arrogant that is. How do they know what history will show? After all, next month, in May, we mark the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, at least in Europe. How many lives were lost? All because a man named Adolf Hitler said, I'm on the right side of history. And there was a Neville Chamberlain who could have stopped Hitler, along with other leaders, but said, we have peace in our time. We're on the right side of history. Where are they now? No. The only one that knows the right side of history is Jesus Christ. And his truth is the way to be on the right side of history. So yes, my job at times is controversial. To teach the truth of Christ. But that's my job. A few years ago, I was at a priest's meeting, and the subject was preaching and sermons and so on. And at my little table, there was one priest who said, I never talk about moral issues. I only talk about love. Because if everybody knows what love is, they'll know how to do the moral issues. And I said, well, how can we love if we don't know what the truth is? Many people have committed great sins because they didn't know the truth, but they thought they knew love. So yes, here I am to address sometimes the tough moral issues, because without the truth, you and I don't have the path that gets to heaven. And here too, we celebrate the Holy Eucharist. The very sacrifice of Christ is made real once again. How wonderful it is to know that we share in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Without this Mass, do we have the nourishment that we need to follow the path? No. We need the Eucharist. We need the Mass. So that when we leave this church, we are confident that Christ is with us. That living shepherd is walking with us. We leave here with hope, no matter what we face, but the hope that Christ is with us and he'll give us the grace we need, whether this week is going to be a week of verdant pastures or dark valleys. Christ will be with us. How wonderful that is. So this Mass is the cornerstone then of our spiritual life. But then, of course, we carry it on through the week by prayer. But we take it to another dimension, the family. Because, as Pope St. John Paul II said, that the family is the domestic church. So in your families, Christ has to be the cornerstone. He has to really be that good shepherd of your family. But you parents are entrusted to be the shepherds. In that word good in the Greek, kalos, it means not only good, it means model. So Christ is your model to be a shepherd for your children, for those whom the Lord has entrusted to your care. So those of you who are parents here, or even grandparents who interact with your grandchildren, hopefully frequently, you pray as a family, whether that's bedtime prayers, grace at meals, saying the family rosary, maybe praying by reading stories from the Bible to your kids, discussing them, depending upon their age level, but you pray. I can guarantee you, if you pray as a family, your family grows stronger. As John Paul II said, families that pray together stay together. You as parents, as good shepherds, need to teach your kids. Yes, you help them learn their religious ed instruction, but then you talk with them about life. Whether you have those free moments as you're driving around somewhere, or maybe especially at dinner time, you talk about life. Talk about what's going on in school or the neighborhood, what's happening in your friends' lives. Issues will come up. If you have older children, like teenagers, issues may be complicated. We'll pull out the catechism. That's why we have them in the pews. So if you don't have one, take one home. Talk about what the church teaches and why. There is a truth there. This is so important for you parents, because if you don't do it, who will? I truly fear, as your pastor, that in our society, families are becoming more scattered because people are too busy. Kids are over-programmed. You don't have the time you need as a family to sit down and talk to each other and just be, as a little flock, joined together in life. I think, too, I fear that families are becoming more isolated, meaning individuals are isolated, because of all the technology we have, albeit in many ways good. But how often I've seen families that aren't talking to each other, but they're all working the gizmos. For instance, a week ago, I took my mom to Williamsburg for her little week vacation every year. And so we had breakfast at the hotel at the Williamsburg Lodge and then had lunch and dinner somewhere else. But every time, guaranteed, I saw a family and at least one, or maybe the whole family, could have been a couple or the whole family, and what they were doing was on their gizmos instead of talking. So who are they talking to? What are they learning? Who are they following? Whose voice are they listening to? So you parents have to make sacred time, be that at dinner time, be that in the car, to talk with your children. They need to know your voice. This is essential because, after all, they'll choose a shepherd. They'll choose a voice to follow. That means also you need to know, who are their friends? What are they doing? What are they looking at? Because of technology, oftentimes, you might not know. Do you have the passwords to all of their little computer places that they may go to? You need to. We all hear the stories in the news about what can happen to our kids through the technology. But then for you children, especially for you teenagers, so young adults, we could say, listen to your parents. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to your church. There's the voice of love in those three areas. Yes, there will be those that call themselves friends that may want to take you off the right path to some place that might look so green and happy, but they're like wolves. They'll spit you out. They'll chew you up, spit you out, and leave you with the broken heart. I've seen it so many times. I can say, especially when I went off to college, there were many chances where I could have made major mistakes. But I heard the voice of Christ in what I had been taught, the voice of my parents in what they had taught me. Thank God I had that voice. Saved my life many times. So my brothers and sisters, here we are, Good Shepherd Sunday. Let us remember, the cornerstone of our life is Jesus Christ. But this Mass, this church, is part of our Catholic cornerstone of spirituality. And your family has to have Christ as that cornerstone. For He's the only good shepherd there is. He's the only one that will lead us safely through this life to heaven. May God bless you.